At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decisions is here with you on a Thursday night where there's a lot going on. But the Four Nations is going on. The final between USA and Canada. Last time, it was everyone versus OK Dubs. Now, actually, Joe versus Tom. Tom Vecchio, Joe Madden with us right here on this Thursday night. I am excited to see what you both think about this game tonight. And Joe, I am going to go to you first here. A pick 'em, -110, either way you look at it. Are you betting the money line or perhaps this 5.5 total in tonight's final game?
Well, I do think there'll be a live betting opportunity at some point in this game to get some better value on the team that you do think will be able to get the win. But I'm going straight up in on Canada in this one, Kevin. I think John Cooper is going to make the necessary adjustments and have this team firing, fighting for those rebounds and able to find the back of Connor Hellebuck's net. So give me Team Canada in this one.
Some love there for Team Canada from Joe Madden. Tom, tell me, how are you starting to see the side or total potentially in this game?
I'm on Team USA. That's no surprise. Wow. I've been on them for a while, but I am also on the under. I think the under is a very, very clear play. Just the verbiage that we've seen out of the coaches and the players, like, this is a game that they are taking as equivalent to a Stanley Cup final game. That is the tone that the players have set, especially, as I mentioned to Ben and Donnie this morning, someone, you know, from like Jack Eichel, who has won a Stanley Cup, who's played in the NCAA final. He is playing this as a Stanley Cup Game 7 type of environment. So a lack of scoring and a lack of chances, more importantly, I think, is what we're going to be seeing. So I do like Sidney Crosby to have a point just because I look at the odds at -128. But this game is all about the under.
All under for Tom here. You know, the thing is, if it's a big game, I got to get in the mix, right? I can't just be on the sidelines as much as I may be like a little dismissive at sometimes. And I have to do my job more than anything, which is be the most unbiased man in the history of sports media. So I took Team Canada's first period team total over half a goal. I mean, listen, you know, some people are trying to ship me out here. Joe, I think they score early. They've done it in all their games. Hellebuck's given up a first period goal in each of his two games so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Connor Hellebuck only giving up those two goals. They've all come in transition. And I'm looking for Connor McDavid to make that big play again and be able to hit him nice and early in this game. So, Kevin, I love where you're going there. But I need the goals to stop there in the first period. I've also taken an under in this game, under 1.5 in the first period, which is opposite to all of the trends. We've seen all of these round robin games fly over that 1.5 with both teams normally scoring in the first period. But I think this one is exactly like Tom said, a lower defensive battle out there on the ice. And Cale Makar is really going to step up for Team Canada. Remember in that last matchup when they faced each other on Saturday, he was not in this lineup. So he's going to be a difference maker out here for Team Canada. He has to be, because the forecheck is brutally hard out there for Team USA. They're going to be all over Canada in this one.
Tom, I'm curious what you think about my play on the first period Canada team total over half a goal.
What are the odds on that? Most importantly, let's start
-136, but there are some profit boosts out there.
Okay. I think those are fair odds. Depending on how you expect the game to play out, Canada coming out with a goal early would certainly, you know, take the momentum out of the building. They are playing in Boston. That is important to note. So I'm fine with it. I think the odds are fair. I probably wouldn't go further than a minus 140, minus 150. It also depends on what you're expecting from the game overall, because I think the general consensus, and Joe, you probably agree with this, is that if Canada wins, it's going to be a lower scoring game. If, you know, when Binnington gets uneasy in net, he often allows 3-4 goals. Like, that's just the MO for him recently. So if USA can win this game low scoring, USA can win this game high scoring, Canada can't win this game high scoring.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I think that makes for an interesting thing. I will not that Tom is wrong. I do feel sometimes we do that and then we just, it's like, oh wow, Canada won 5-4. I don't know. Sometimes like sports where it's like clearly one team has to win this way, one team has to win this way, and it can always kind of veer off. Joe, I know you're always looking at props. Any stones we haven't necessarily unturned on that side of the menu?
Yeah, absolutely. I love where Tom's going with Sidney Crosby. I think he can find the back of the net, but this is about that defensive battle. This is about the goaltending for me as well. I'm looking at both of these goaltenders over their safe shots on goal. Connor Hellebuck rolling in here at 27.5, while Jordan Binnington's only at 25.5. Now, you got to remember, Jordan Binnington has the weight of this game on his shoulders. Either he's a hero for Team Canada tonight, or he's going to be the scapegoat that everyone is blaming the weak goaltending here. Look at Jordan Binnington the last time he was in a game under this much pressure. Back in 2019, Stanley Cup Finals with the St. Louis Blues, he stopped 32 of 33 shots on his goal here in Boston. I'm looking for him to have a big night. I'd hold him up to 28.5 safe shots on goal.
Tom, have you found any props that you like for this game? I know our guy Coach was trying to get a few out of you before he got out of here.
So like I said, I like the Sidney Crosby for a point of minus 128. I don't mind taking a longer shot on a player for a goal. Someone I mentioned to Coach Zach Werenski, who's having an awesome borderline Norris caliber year for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Just expecting not one of the chalk players to hit. It's going to be a depth score, as we saw on Saturday night with Dylan Larkin. I think it could be someone along the line, maybe a Matt Boldy. Not someone like Jacob Slavin. Like, that's a little bit too far down the list for me, but I would also be looking to Sam Bennett. There's someone for Team Canada, maybe not Hagel, but a point for Canada as well. He hasn't been playing a top six role as he normally does for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Obviously, McDavid and McKinnon have those roles up top, but one of those deeper players, just because I think there's going to be fewer chances overall, and it's going to be coming from a spot that we don't normally expect.
The question then becomes the faceoff MVP. You know, do you guys feel that the whole tournament will be taken into account, and that's why the Hellebuck and McDavid numbers are at the top, or tonight's game is going to carry exponentially more weight, say Tom, than the other meetings that we've seen throughout the Four Nations face-off?
It depends on what kind of outcome we get tonight. And, you know, I spoke about this with Ben and Donnie this morning. You know, Jake Gensel has two goals, and he had the empty net goal against Canada on Saturday. So, it's empty net goal. It is what it is. But if Jake Gensel has two goals tonight that are non-empty net goals, and one of them is a game-winning goal, you know, we're talking about four goals in such a short time frame. That could put him in the conversation. Now, I think they may default to Hellebuck, especially if it's a 2-1 game, a 3-1 game. Like, he's the anchor. He's the reason that they quote-unquote won. But a player that has multiple goals and multiple games has to be in the conversation. And the same thing can be said about Nathan MacKinnon, very in play for the MVP.
How do you see it, Joe?
Yeah, I see it exactly the same way as Tom. You've got to look at how this one plays out tonight. I do think this will be the heavier weighted game. If Connor Hellebuck comes out there and shuts down Team Canada and wins in a very low scoring game, I do think he will get it over anyone else on that team. But when we look at Team Canada here, I do think Connor McDavid is a front runner for Team Canada for a reason. How beautiful his goals are coming into these games. He has that ability to win in transition and really nail Connor Hellebuck in this one. So if he can come out, he can sink that goal nice and early and get the momentum shifted in Canada's direction. I could see it. But you got to look, what if Jordan Binnington comes out and does what he did back in that Stanley Cup Finals? Jordan Binnington should be the MVP if he's able to do that. You look at him in those last couple of games, he's aggressive with the puck. He's passing that puck down the ice to his players. He's not just falling on it. So I can make a case for him to get MVP if Team Canada gets the win tonight.
I'll throw out a hypothetical, and it may, you know, Auston Matthews is 130-1 for a hat trick. If he has that hat trick, he's 250-1 to an MVP. Auston Matthews has not done much of anything, right, in the build up to this game.
Right.
If they win this game 4-2 and he has a hat trick, how that looks, I think, is a fascinating thing. It's a game everybody is excited for, and it's why we had to get both Tom and Joe.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
To help us out, we'll talk to Dane Martinez next right here. It's Game Time Decisions on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back right here on Sports Grid, and it is Game Time Decisions. I'm Kevin Walsh. I'm joined by Dane Martinez, the spitting statistician. Dane, how are we feeling here on a Thursday night?
We're doing all right. I'm happy that the NBA is back. I know we had Charlotte and Los Angeles because of the wildfires yesterday, but we've got, like, it's really back now, so I'm excited to go.
And Dane's got some props for us tonight, so we're going to go through those. We can kind of expand big picture. We've got Dane here for a little bit, so we may be able to talk a little NFL as well. You mentioned the Hornets game last night. Look, the Lakers kind of imploded. Reeves got thrown out. Luka's not right. We can see that. But also, Miles Bridges had a heck of a ball game for all four quarters. Now tonight, he goes up against the Denver Nuggets. What do you expect from him in that spot?
Yeah, I actually think what he did last night helps me with the line tonight. I'm going under for Miles Bridges. I'm going under 25.5 points. Listen, he did have a good game, but he's only averaging 19.8, for the season, right? He's gone under this in six of his last eight games. And also, he, on the second night of a back-to-back, the last time this happened, he only played 28 minutes. He only had 7 points on a back-to-back February 9th and February 10th against Denver. In a similar kind of spot, he went under this number in a back-to-back on February 1st. Denver is a 16-point favorite. Think when there's big numbers like this, Kev, there is the blowout potential and some of the studs, especially for Charlotte on a second of a back-to-back. Bridges may be in, you know, warm-up clothes for some of the fourth quarter. And also LaMelo is back from the ankle injury, right? So he takes up some of that usage as well. You put it all together, especially the fact that Bridges is averaging literally 5 points lower than this number. I'm taking the under on Miles Bridges.
And one thing I'll say, because they ultimately ruled LaMelo out, but here's the incredible thing, Dane, with that, we've seen 12 games this year for Miles Bridges, no LaMelo Ball. In only three of them, he had 25-plus points.
Right.
So, and we're talking 25.5. So that's a great opportunity there on a Miles Bridges under going up against the Denver Nuggets. One of the more fascinating games tonight is Phoenix and San Antonio with the Victor Wembanyama news. I don't know if your action came before or after, but we knew Wemby wasn't going to play, or we expected him not to play tonight. What do you think about that game, and then also a little bit about Wemby's now being out for the rest of the season?
Yeah, so in that game, first of all, right, without Wemby, you got to figure out who's going to pick up that slack, who's going to get that usage, who's going to get some of the stats that Wemby was going to get. And I go to Jeremy Sochan. Okay, I think the rebounding is going to be there. And let me tell you something. This is part of the reason, Kev, you got to shop around. At least earlier today, in some books, his rebounding number was 5.5. In others, it was 7.5. That's why it pays to have accounts everywhere and get the best of the numbers. So why go over 7.5 when I can go over 5.5, right? So I think that's great. He averages 7.2 a game. Now with no Wemby, I think also Sochan's going to get more minutes. And I think that is the key. Yeah. I mean, a stretch in December, there was like six in a row where he went over this number. He averaged like 10 boards a game. Already in February, he's got games of 8 rebounds, 12 rebounds. And Phoenix on the other side, they allow, get this, they allow 12.5 offensive rebounds a game, Kev. That is the most in the NBA. They allow 45 boards a game. That's also sixth most in the NBA. But I think there is an opportunity for some cheap offensive rebounds when you play against the Phoenix Suns. You put it all together, I'm going to take Sochan going over 5.5. But like I say, with this one, Kev, it pays to have multiple books. Mm. There is literally a 2-board difference across some of the spots.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I'm wondering if some people tonight want to try and climb that ladder for a double-double, maybe around 4-1, potentially, if he can start to get on that type of run. We know, Dane, some people out there like to climb those ladders when you get that prop shot. Perhaps Sohan offers that opportunity. We'll close out some of the prop options in the game between the Blazers and the Lakers. Luke is not playing. We're waiting on, I think, official word if LeBron's going to play in this basketball game. The number's been dropping, the back-to-back. Portland has also been pretty good at home. They're above 500, which was not expected. What are you looking for in this one tonight?
I like Donovan Clingan, man, because, you know, Ayton is still out. And without him, Clingan comes in to be the big man, to be the rebounder. You know, L.A. doesn't really have that big. That's why they tried to get Williams from Charlotte. And that trade was obviously rescinded, sent back, right? So they don't really have a true big. And I think Clingan is going to be able to get double-digit boards. He had 20 boards on February 12th against Denver in 31 minutes. Like, if he gets... Previously, if he got 17 or more minutes, he was getting double digits in rebounds, like five out of the last six times. Now with no Ayton and the fact that the Lakers, really, you talk about some of these guys that are going to be out for the Lakers because they are on the second of a back-to-back. I think Clingan, the guy out of Connecticut in his rookie year, he is going to be that rebounder. And I'm with you, Kevin. There is something going on in the Pacific Northwest. If you can get the Blazers at times as home dogs, which they are tonight, I wouldn't mind that look either.
Man, I got to tell you, Dane, on the spot, you now have me checking Clingan Rookie of the Year prices. This guy's out. First of all, he had a 20-rebound game in the preseason, which shouldn't even be, which shouldn't be possible. He has a 20-rebound game. The race is wide open. Now, what's interesting is we all knew that the Wemby news was going to shift the Defensive Player of the Year market. It made Steph Castle a bigger favorite for Rookie of the Year. I don't know if I fully agree. The Spurs are kind of going to get kicked into obscurity. De'Aaron Fox also might go sicko mode. I still hate that they did that trade. I don't know. The whole thing's bizarre to me.
Really? Why? I love the trade.
I think they rushed it.
Okay. They didn't need to do it, right? Because his in-laws were from there. He flies there on off days. He was going to go there as a free agent. I think if anything, Kev, they were going to take a stab at maybe getting into the play-in. You see the end of San Antonio's schedule. They are playing against teams a lot that are, you know, ticketed to try to be in the lottery or get a higher percentage. So I think they were trying to build momentum, become an even more attractive piece to maybe free agents. But you're right. Now with access to the fact that Wemby's out, they could have just done it in free agency anyway, right?
Yeah, and I think they could have even, regardless, like, I'm not positive Fox is the perfect option. They could have got Trae Young this offseason, we were all told. I'm probably still on an island, would rather Trae, because when everyone's going to tell me he's terrible at defense, don't care, Wemby's behind him. Don't care! And
that's
Wemby
fair.
Will average like 30 if Trae's that's setting fair. Him up.
But listen, Fox was the clutch player of the year. That's something San Antonio needed. And it's not like Fox didn't have, you know, practice about doing pick and roll with a good passing big man either.
I hear you on that. Dane's going to stick around. We're going to talk some NFL with you on the other side here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here on Game Time Decisions. The NBA board starting to open up a little bit. High scoring start a little, you would say, from Boston, Philly, from the Pacers and the Grizzlies relative to their expected pace. Not a rocket ship, but a lot of time still within those games. I do want to shift over to the NFL, though. We have Dane Martinez with us right here on Game Time Decisions. And one of the more recent big pieces of news, Dane, in the NFL is actually the Eagles officially announcing their offensive coordinator is going to be elevated with in-house in Kevin Petullo. And I think for Philly fans, things have been going so well. They're kind of sticking with optimism around everything. But the last time Philly had a great OC that then left because they were in a Super Bowl, they went in-house and they then fired that OC. And this consistent revolving door for Jalen Hurts. I know we're early, right? It's, you know, this, again, the Super Bowl was just, you know, a few days ago, it feels like. But do you have any thoughts on the idea that the Eagles went in-house with Kevin Petullo to replace Kellen Moore?
I actually think that that's fine, right? Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, Kev. You know, I think familiarity is important in that situation, right? Not only for Hurts, but for Saquon, for AJB and his inner excellence, of course, and of course, Devontae Smith, right? So I actually think that that is a smart move. I got to tell you, where I think the coordinators are a bigger issue, Kev, is in Detroit. They lose both of their coordinators, right? Ben Johnson, head coach of the Bears, Aaron Glenn, now head coach of the New York Football Jets. I think that brain drain can be real. We have seen it time and time again. And I really think that Detroit could take a step back because they lost both coordinators. But I think in Philly, that kind of consistency is actually a good thing for them moving forward.
Yeah, I think that that's valid. I am cautiously again, it's just not the time for doom and gloom, right? I'm right. Cautiously optimistic around that. Dane, there's going to be so many moving pieces this offseason, right? I'm curious if how you feel around the T. Higgins stuff. I, at this moment, feel that Cincinnati should be ready to move on to spend their money elsewhere. And I think T. should be ready to move on to secure the bag and be the number one wideout on what could still very well be a contender. There are other teams that are potential contenders with money. How do you feel about the T. Higgins Cincinnati Bengals situation?
You know, it's interesting. I see it the other way, Kev, honestly. And that's where you hear Joe Burrow talking about he'll restructure his deal to keep core pieces, right? I think, in essence, I use a superhero analogy. Joe Burrow knows that the passing game is their superpower, and they need all the rocks in the Thanos glove. And that is Jamar Chase at $40 million, T. Higgins at maybe $30 million. He's going to lobby for Gesicki to stay back as well. I think Joe Burrow offering to restructure is because he knows that that pass game is their lead punch and that he needs Chase and T. And I would be worried about T maybe becoming a quote-unquote number one elsewhere. We saw it. We thought Juju Smith-Schuster was going to be a number one when Antonio Brown left. We thought Anquan Boldin was going to be a number one when Larry Fitzgerald left. It's a little bit different when all of a sudden the attention is on you and you're getting the traveling corner and you're getting the expectations. I think T. Higgins is fine where he is. I think ultimately they are going to find a way to keep that passing game in place for Cincinnati because, quite frankly, that is their best shot at remaining a contender in the prime of Joe Burrow's career. If he goes somewhere, do you really think if he goes to Carolina or New England or something like that as the quote-unquote number one alpha that all of a sudden he's going to experience playoff glory? No. His best chance, especially when Kelsey, I think, is done, is to stay with Cincinnati and have Joe Burrow as one of these studs that can challenge for the throne.
You know, I got to tell you, Dane, I'm not on that side, but I actually really appreciate the thought of Cincinnati being like, look, man, like this is how we're going to do it. The thing I would say about T leaving is I don't think it has to be Carolina, New England. I think Washington, the Chargers, the Packers are teams that could still be calling his name. And that's where Cincinnati is throwing me off in that I think the world of Burrow's abilities. They've missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. So, like, that is where they are such a difficult team. Where it's like, as long as I stay here, I know I'm going to be successful. Like, they're not Buffalo. They're not Baltimore. They're not Kansas City. That's the tricky thing about them. Dana Martinez. What a treat. What a treat. We're going to be trying to do this a lot more throughout the NBA season. Very, very excited, Dane. Very, very excited.
Anytime, but man, Cooper Kupp's going to Washington, by the way.
Oh.
So he's not going to go to Commander.
Is that good?
And Devontae Adams is going to go to the Chargers, in my humble opinion. But we can talk about it throughout the offseason. It's all good.
I didn't know you were working with all the other landing spots figured out. That's a great job out of you and a bad job out of me. Dane, you're the best. We'll do it again soon. We're taking a break. We're here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at the right here on Sports Grid, it is Game Time Decisions, and I kind of just realized there was one piece of NFL news that we didn't get into with Dane that came out today, which was Zach Martin's going to retire. The Dallas Cowboys, you know, longtime offensive guard out of Notre Dame. He's been excellent since the word go for that football team, and it's a loss. I am sure they are, you know, kind of devastated to be hit by where – look, Zach Martin is not every single year lock him in first team all pro necessarily, but Zach Martin has been great for this team, and it gives them another hole that they have to fill. And I think that's what gets very interesting for the Dallas Cowboys, who are always a big talking point, understandably so, and rightfully so. But this is a football team that, when we were, you know, in between the wild card, the divisional round, right, I thought was going to be incredibly appetizing in the futures market. Now, the futures market, I think you can almost tell, certainly with some of my recent moves, I'm very interested to see where I land on the baseball board futures-wise. I am, if I like to buy low, right, on a day-to-day board, right, you know, for the Super Bowl, Philadelphia Eagles, National Championship, Duke, I'm not scared to bet a favorite. I you know, if we want to win that bet, we can't go too far down the board, right? Sometimes it's great to beat a number, but it's not all about beating a number. But Dallas seemed like a team that could be this incredible blend where they are a perennial contender, but we know that that high-end ceiling has escaped them for a very long time. But perhaps with the change from Mike McCarthy to a new head coach would bring some optimism, at least for me. And then they went with Brian Schottenheimer, and that really hurt things. Then, you know, like Micah Parsons, it's like, we'll see what happens with the Micah situation. We'll see if they pay him. We'll see how long it takes for them to pay him. And you remember, we were sat here on the Pro Football Today desk, myself, Donnie, and Joe. You know, they're paying Dak Prescott while we're live on air. Right? It's like, why did you wait that long? What benefit was that? Right? So now it feels that, maybe I'm wrong here, but wouldn't you imagine a Micah Parsons holdout's around the corner? And then CeeDee Lamb is, you know, talked about fan bases. Maybe it does matter. Maybe it doesn't matter. I don't know. But he's like, the Eagles fan base is crazy. Is that wrong? I mean, legitimate maniacs, right? But you could tell it bothered Cowboy fans. Like, I probably didn't need that. And then Dak's like, we're right there with the Eagles. And it's like, I don't know, probably didn't need that. Right? And now Zach Martin's retiring. It's like, man, it feels almost like an avalanche. Like in this moment, right? If it was going to teeter-totter the Dallas Cowboys situation, right? Yeah, as Dave Sharapan said, you can sig. Now, instead of, they are the bounce back by low, we won 11, 12 games, could they just be terrible? And terrible is relative, but like, we won 5 games. I don't know how it happened, but it happens to teams, right? Where you have those nightmare seasons and, you know, you would say, Dallas just had one. Right? Right? Like, they're just, they're so odd, Dave. And I will say, you know, and I know it's NFL futures, and I don't know how much you've, you know, talked to guys, but, you know, when was the last time they opened the Dallas Cowboys at better than 51 to win a Super Bowl?
It's been a while. Yeah. I have to really think about that. We got to go way back.
Yeah.
You know, into the early 2000s, something, you know, in that neighborhood. And even then, you didn't do it because they were going to bet it anyway. So it was always priced into the popularity of the team. People like to call them America's team. Tonight, there's only one America's team, and they're playing hockey. Dallas will get bets no matter what, no matter who's playing quarterback, no matter who's coaching them. And the reality of it, K-Dub, is that they're the third best team in the division. No matter what happens in a draft, no matter what happens going forward, right now, perception-wise, third best team in the division.
They're going to be booked that way undoubtedly, but let's think about it like, I mean, that was not even close to the thought coming into the year.
No.
And, man, like it feels like a 12, that's important. Because you get closer, like if Genty's on the board, they're just going to take him. Not saying it's a bad move, but it feels like they're going to take him. Right.
Are you doing the draft talk? Are you really already starting with this? Are you talking about the draft stuff? What are we doing?
I will tell you this, Dave. Huh. Look, I am the most unbiased man in the history of sports media. You'll see that tonight when we talk Four Nations.
Yes.
But an Eagles Super Bowl victory, I've not stiff-armed the football thoughts fully.
That's fine.
You know, I'll be honest with people. Getting the Super Bowl winner correct preseason, people are like, everyone does that every. Look, I bet one team preseason they won the game, right?
Fine.
And so we're always looking. That's all. And I do like the NFL draft a lot. You know, I try not to bog you down with that for as long as I can. So then let me move.
Yes.
Let me move.
Yes.
My question to you. As we are going to drop this puck in a half hour.
Maybe.
Right. Probably. Yeah. Probably an hour. Probably an hour. Buzz-wise, book-wise, how does it look like this will stack up to that Saturday meeting?
This is pretty good. This is actually one of those situations. Again, maybe not in person, but in hockey markets, this is the game of the night. Now, there's a full slate of NBA. It's back. There's a full slate of college basketball. There's one ranked team playing. But that doesn't mean you can't find a side in Idaho and Northern Arizona, which is later tonight. And it's probably the home team there if that one, if you're just looking. Northern Arizona, small favorite. But this game is going to be big, and they're going to talk about this game in reference, like when we get to next year and the Olympic stuff, and they're going to be like, do you remember the Four Nations games, the USA and Canada, how big they were in the handle, how many people watched? And this is the game, K-Dub, that's bringing in the casual fan. Like, you're a hockey guy. You've become more of a hockey guy. But, like, the regular people – even little Kinsig, she saw me just now before I got upstairs and got set up and everything in the studio. And she's like, USA's going to win. Okay. Everybody's got an opinion tonight, whether it's side or whether it's total. I think for those of us looking for an actual betting opportunity, I think the total's a little more appealing. I mean, the game's a complete coin flip, as the odds suggest.
You know what's odd? I thought about the side. The first game being in Quebec and then this game in Boston having absolutely no bearing on the side.
Correct.
I guess they just don't want to put a plus price next to Canada. Like, they're not struggling for bets. That has to be the thought process, right?
They're not struggling for bets, but like up there, there's books that are like 90% on Canada. It's overwhelming up north. And we got a lot of people to watch the shows and stuff up north. It's going to be one of those nights. And, I got friends in the business that are, Canadian, are rooting for USA sidewise because they're going to get buried. They're going to get buried. That's what happens.
It's probably much worse up there.
Oh, yeah.
Now that you say it. From an intrigue level, it's better if USA wins. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We're with Dave Sharpin here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back with you right here, and it is Game Time Decisions. On this Thursday night, a lot of excitement around the Four Nations tournament. And I will say, I talked about this at the top of the show. I'll throw this your way, Dave. It feels as if this may now change the perception around hockey here, now for good, and it will now mirror soccer in that Champions League is great.
Yeah.
You're not the World Cup. NHL regular season's cool.
Yeah.
You're not the Olympics. It feels as if now this is going to become a situation where the biggest thing that will happen annually for the NHL will be their Four Nations tournament next year, the Olympics. It feels as if, is that a bridge too far? That this is now going to become the way that people actually start to consume and really root hockey in?
I think you're going to draw people in. Now, we'll see, because the Olympics will be the world, and there will be teams that aren't in this Four Nations that will be competing. So it will add a different dynamic to it. The next one after that will be the ultimate test, and that's 2 years away. So we don't know yet, but I mean, we're looking at a full slate of NBA tonight. We're looking at a full slate of NHL on Saturday. And I said it today to Perrault when we did Bostonian versus the book, like Vancouver is in Vegas on Saturday night. And if you're into this and you've drawn the casual win and they're expecting to see this level of excitement / physicality / entertainment in hockey in Vegas Saturday night when the Canucks come to town, and boy, I can't wait to see Jack Eichel play, and I can't wait to see, you know, Hill do this, and what, it's going to be different. So it's hard to live up to, and I think everyone has to take a, you know, step back. If you like hockey, you love this. If you're new to hockey, you really like this. I don't know if it takes you to, you know, starting to look at shots on goal props on Saturday. I don't know if it does.
And let me just say this. I actually, look, I've had some fun with the hockey stuff. People should not expect that, and that is not necessary. That is not how you judge success. Basketball just had its best event since the Cavs came back from 3-1 this summer with the Olympics. It was tremendous. All anybody could talk about, anybody could watch. It was perfect. And then we've spent the first half of this NBA season complaining and being like, wow, nobody's watching. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. Yeah. Now, there was time in between. It's not one to, but my point is, you will not hear me. Again, look, you will not hear me 2 weeks from now go, see, nobody cares about hockey, that Four Nations stuff. That's not, because then I'd sound like an idiot. That's not that, you know what I mean? So it just kind of, you know, you talk it through, and it's going to be fascinating to see. It is. I will say this, Dave, for the NBA. Mm-hmm. One thing, see, when you're in the flow of the NBA season, like, I got to wait for to find out this guy's playing. This guy's playing, right? You're used to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you step away, and when you're met with the first game since the All-Star break, you're like, hey, man, what do you like in the Bucks-Clippers game tonight? I'll let you know it's 7:50 because I don't know if Giannis is playing. What do you mean? Oh, I also don't know if Dame was playing. I thought he was at the All-Star game. Oh, he was. And the three-point contest. Yeah. But I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure.
And he did the Mr. Beast challenge, by the way.
And that
guy won 100 times. I was sure waiting for you to get out there and, you know, knock one down from the logo. The games after the break... It's the easiest night to book, and I loved putting these numbers up because we're all on equal ground. Everybody's just literally, I feel like there is no edge, and it might carry over into all weekend. I mean, yesterday there was a makeup game. The Hornets were 13-point dogs. They won outright. You know, your man had two shots at the end to win the game. He didn't do it. Not besmirching LeBron. He's doing unbelievable things at 40. But the Lakers were huge favorites and lost. Expect the unexpected tonight, tomorrow. You want to talk about not knowing nothing. Nobody knows Squadouche. I love booking this weekend after this because you just put up numbers, you take bets, you hope dogs cover. If they win outright, you sweep everything. So – good luck tonight if you're on the NBA.
I will. Yeah, I mean, one, yes. Always good luck. I'll say too. And by the way, like, you know, I got a text today from someone talking about like LeBron in the clutch. One, not that David, but like, if you're doing the LeBron is in clutch stuff, all you did was tell me we don't need to be having the conversation. That's one.
Right.
Two, that's not the story of that game. The story of the game and the question now is when will Luka Doncic look like Luka Doncic?
Good question.
You know, I saw a tweet last night. You can find it. I quote tweeted it. We'll leave it at that. So, hey, I'm not victory lapping, but, which is like, oh, so you are. Been there, done that. You're victory lapping. Okay. You're victory lapping. Been there, done that. You got the shoes on. You tied them tight. But I told you, take it easy on these Lakers. You know, they have a 25-year-old MVP. It's not about now. It's about later. Hold on. Hold on. Why don't we have the 25-year-old MVP look like he's actually played basketball before? Before we victory lap whether this Laker team can win multiple rounds in the postseason. Is that not fair to say?
Listen, you are the most unbiased man in sports media right now.
Thanks,
you have to ask that question. When new guys, especially alphas like Luka, come on a team, you got to find your way. You remember when all those guys went to Miami and joined LeBron?
Yes.
And Wade and Bosh, and like, they were terrible until after Christmas. Mediocre, 500 even. So they ended up winning a couple titles together. It's going
to
be okay.
They went to the finals that year.
Dave. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Everybody with the victory lap, slow down. I like that tie them up tight, though. You did put the shoes on. You're going to do that walk. Make sure the shoes are tied.
Make sure. Baseball? We'll throw something Consig's ways before we button up right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's bounce around here. Kevin Walsh with Dave Sharapan. We're closing out another fun edition of Game Time Decisions. A reminder, we are live Saturday night, myself and Coach James Young, Duke Illinois, Lakers Nuggets. A lot of good stuff for us to get into on that Saturday night, so we will be in the mix. Tonight, Dave will be in the mix for the in-game coverage of USA versus Canada. Dave, I have a bet in this game. You want to take one guess at what it is?
Juice, you got over. You have over.
I'll tell you this. I will say the more I look at it, the more the under, 5.5 is so obvious to everyone. I do want to bet the over 5.5. Canada first period, team total over half the goal. Wow, look at that. Someone had to do it.
They're going to score, right?
Yeah, someone had to do it.
That's fine. That's been the pattern. Listen, these games, these guys know each other. Unless the goalie just stands on his head for both teams, somebody scoring in the first period. I'd be very surprised if we get through this thing 0-0.
Yeah.
And he did it last time. McDavid split the defense, got in there and scored that goal. I don't have a problem with that bet. The game for me has to live up to the billing. I said it prior to Saturday night. You have to commit a felony to get a penalty. Let the refs just kind of skate around, drop the puck in between faceoffs, separate them when they need to be separated. Let the players decide it. Unless there's a really egregious somebody taking away a scoring chance, because the power plays are lethal for both teams.
Yep.
So the in-game opportunities when they go on a power play will be there. I like Eichel to get a point for the U.S. I think he's going to play a major role in the game. He's been excellent, in seeing a lot of ice time. So I like him to get a point tonight for the U.S. I like the game under. I feel like it's going to be 3-1 or 3-2 final. And I don't think there's going to be overtime. So, like, there's this bet where you can bet
in regulation,
the side and will both teams score. And the U.S. is plus 160 at a lot of books. And Canada's plus 180 for both teams to score. I don't think there's going to be a shutout. So now you have plus working. You can do some stuff in between. That's a little high level next stuff, but the game is going to live up to whatever the billing is. That's what I hope comes take away from tonight.
It's a great breakdown. I just realized that there was so much more to do. All right,
what,
quickly.
Is a win total? Is that what?
No. All right, hold on. All right, we'll start with this quickly.
Yes, sir.
The Wemby injury, the defensive player of the year. Here's what I said to people. while I was someone who was like, look, I don't think you should be betting the award favorite at minus 150, 60 preseason, I am not going to tell people, haha, because that's one, stupid and rude, and two, I actually think they made a great bet because he's minus 2,400 at the All-Star break. You just unfortunately got hit with unforeseen circumstances. My thing, though, is, Dave, what happens to the number next year? Because now I feel like people won't be as willing to lay that minus 200, but also anybody who was is going to be like, well, he's going to win it this year. Like, it's very odd to me.
Correct. Making that number is going to be a problem because you're going to have to either take a stand without taking a bet, or you're going to have to give the people a loss leader and let them bet it and make it lower than it should be. Two schools of thought. That's an unfortunate injury, K-Dub.
Yes, it is.
I saw that news today, and I went, man, they went and made the trade for Fox. They were like, they things were happening.
Yes,
and
they
Wemby
were.
Wemby was leading the charge, and now it's no good. I mean, they're dogs tonight at home against Phoenix. Everybody's playing Phoenix like the game is over.
Yeah.
Is it over? San Antonio could win tonight without him, though.
Yeah. You've put your ear to the ground, Dave. Quickly, I'll do this with you. Spring training game started today. There's more tomorrow. What's the process? Throw up 8.5 and just let the maniacs bet it?
Sides only, no totals. Oh. Never put up a total ever.
Oh, come on.
I'd rather not because I don't know who's pitching. I don't know nothing. Just Yankees favorite every day, just in case you
Dodgers.
Walk into the book. Dodgers favorite every day, no matter who they're playing. Or who's not playing.
All right.
Yeah, those two are favored every day.
What a start, 12-4 Cubs. This Dodgers team, panic in L.A. People are asking. I'm asking. Somebody's got to. Do not forget Chris Paul over 16.5 points plus assists tonight against those Phoenix Suns. Little revenge spot. Little opportunity boost, some shooting bounce back. Oh, it's all too wonderful. In-game live is next.